Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Greetings, everyone. It's Lot Harris here, another Panther Rants podcast. Work from home currently today. I was going to go in, actually, when this was all said and done, because I've been without hot water all week. And, you know, the leasing office claimed that they were sending, they sent somebody to fix it, but still cold water. And I can, and you know, and what the kicker was is on Monday night, I turned the breaker off to the hot water tank and left it off. And when I came back, when I came back late, after work yesterday, it was still off. So nothing was done. But now it's done. I thought about going to the office, but I'm probably not going to do that. I'll just stay where I'm at. Stay warm. Although it's only 48 degrees out. So, I almost started the podcast off of introducing myself as Pat Narduzzi, which I guess was the last thing on my mind. The obvious hot topic is Narduzzi got a 7-year extension, which is warranted. I know people are screaming about this because the guy went 5-7. And we'll get to pit season here in a minute. I get it. Why extend him after going 5-7? But here's the thing: if Pitt has a knockout year next year, which is what it looks like, good things are on the horizon. Does it mean Pitt's gonna be a national title contender? No, not at all. Will they win the ACC? No, not at all either. They make a contender for their division. That's about it. That's as far as they're gonna go, unfortunately, for the moment. I think this league for next few years, this league's pretty much going to be Miami, Clemson, and possibly Florida State with a Willie Taggart hiring. So, you got your three strong teams there, and, Pitt's up there. They have a chance to be up there. NC State, the one thing, they had a really good year, and I don't see them continue on with that. One thing they benefited from was a lot of senior leadership, and they're losing all that this past year. So I think they're going to fall back a little bit. But, this is good for Pitt. I mean, one thing is it provides stability for the program, at least the perception of stability, because you don't want other schools going in negative recruiting against Pitt saying, Pat just went 5-7. That staff is going to get blown up, or he's looking for a way out, this and that. You got to deal with that type of thing. Whereas it was the same thing with Walt Harris when he went 9-4 in 2002. In the offseason, the ACC, tried to implode the Big East. So you had that going. And supposedly there was rumors going around behind the scenes that Harris was looking for jobs in the NFL. And there was a lot that was just being used to negatively recruit Walt against Walt Harris. In that offseason going into 2003, which is why that was such a critical recruiting year for Pitt, and it just blew up, and that's one of the reasons why is those rumors of instability that Harris was leaving was the issue. And obviously playing a crappy conference is one of them too. And Harris was gone after the next year anyway, as his agent pretty much killed that type of thing. So, Pat's here for a little while, and after two straight 8-win seasons, and then this happens, you want to keep him around. He didn't deserve to be fired or anything like that. He hasn't done enough to be fired yet. you know, he's just fine where he's at. I mean, this is year three for him, and, you know, like I said, year three for Dave Winstead, he was five, he was four and, I think it's 4-7, or 5-7, one of the two, and that was a bad year for him, but he beat West Virginia, and he beat Cincinnati. There was I think, by the time Cincinnati was ranked, he almost beat Michigan State. I mean, he had LeSean McCoy. The only difference is he had LeSean McCoy, and Pitt really had nobody stepping up this year on offense till later in the year. And also, you know, obviously Harry and at the one site, pghsportsnow.com, he did an interview with Quadri Henderson, and Henderson touched on why he decided to go pro, and basically his touches were being reduced, and basically he was worried about his stock falling. And I can understand that. I guess he's looking for a Ryan Switzer type of role, a Tyreek Hill kind of role. And obviously he feels he has a lot of potential, and it's not going to be realized where he's at. But one thing needs to be realized with Quadri Henderson, and I hope and I wish him well. It goes both ways. He really didn't show us much as a receiver this year. He just didn't have that receiver mentality. A lot of the plays we gave to him were design plays. But on the other side of it as well, we had instability at the quarterback position. You know, it was bad. The passing game sucked. Max Brown didn't start off all that well, and by the time he finally got going, he got hurt. And then we have Ben DiNucci, who was very often on, or sometimes on. We had him to deal with, and he was just as limited as he can go. Finally, we find a quarterback in Kenny Pickett, which it took us the end of the year to do it. And I think maybe if he stays a year, he steps up in his role, and he has a better quarterback to help him with that. And unfortunately, he will never realize that, and so I wish him best in the pros, and I hope it works out for him where he goes, if he gets drafted. If not, come back and finish your degree. Because money can be taken away from you anytime. You can lose money anytime. Your college education is something that can never be taken away from you. Anyways, we're going to the Pitt season in review. Pitt finished 5-7 this year. Was it a disappointing season? If we're going by the whole binary system where it's ones and zeros, or yes or no, we're going to say yes. It was disappointing. Bad season, yes, as well. I mean, we can rationalize why it was not a bad year as we thought it was. End of the day, it's a bad season, a disappointing season. Is it disastrous? No, I don't believe it is. The Miami win, I believe, saved that. And better things are ahead. Not to mention the defense is, you know, started playing better in the second half. You know, we saw a lot of progress there, especially in the back seven with the linebackers in the secondary. But starting off the year, Pitt beats Youngstown State in overtime, and that was bad. And then Pitt obviously goes to State College and loses to Penn State 33-14. Pitt pretty much dominated the time of possession for most of that game. It's just Pitt couldn't score points. There was nobody to do that. And we'll touch on some of the offense here after we get through all this. Oklahoma State, same thing. Couldn't move the ball. Couldn't do dick. They lose. Defense stays on the field most of the game, 59-21. Georgia Tech, turnovers kept Pitt in that game, but they pulled away early. They pulled away later in that game. Pickett's Rice and destroys them, and you see that there's some confidence in the passing game with Max Brown and his receivers. And we saw in the Syracuse game as well, but unfortunately, Max Brown got hurt, and that was that. You know, it seemed like he was stepping up in the pocket more. He was getting rid of the ball. He was getting himself in rhythm. And, of course, that went poof when he got hurt and he was out for the year after the Syracuse loss. NC State, you know, Pitt was in for most of that game, but, of course, lack of offense took its toll. Then we had a little bright spot. Pitt finished a year. Pitt finished the season winning three of its last five. They beat Duke thanks to Darren Hall's big game. They take out Virginia in convincing fashion. The one disappointing game was North Carolina, a Thursday night game after a long, time off. Pitt got out-coached in that game. They scored 31 points and still lost. And it was a case of Pitt's defense getting out-coached, out-schemed, everything. Disappointing loss. Virginia Tech should have been a win. Kenny Pickett gets him to the goal line. And, of course, the play calling screwed him on that one. They took the ball out of his hands and bungled that. And, of course, the bright spot in Miami where Pitt pretty much destroyed Miami. They were more physical than Miami was on the defensive side, which is why Pitt won this game. Miami tends to win these games because they have more athletes and they're just better than Pitt. Pitt, on this hand, they did something different. They killed the stigma. Pretty much that day, they stepped on that field and said, "You know what? We don't give a damn if you're Miami and you're the U and you have the turnover chain, this and that, and you have this whole tough guy, this bully image of yourself. We don't care. We're gonna come in there and we're gonna stomp on your throat." And that's what they did, pretty much. Pitt didn't care who they were, what they were. They went and they threw several punches, knocked them on the ground. And pretty much that has to be the attitude for Pitt next year when they step on this field, because the schedule is not going to be too helpful for them. They got come with a stigma that they don't care of who they're playing and what they're playing. We're just going to beat the crap out of you. And let's hope that, they take that attitude, from that last game, and bring it to next year. And looking over the team as well, pretty crazy stuff here. I mean, Max Brown, up until his injury, he completed 71% of his passes, which is surprisingly. Of course, probably most of that was against Rice, most likely, because I think he threw for 997 yards, but probably half of that was against Rice. Ben DiNucci completed 55% of his passes, which isn't obviously any good. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not great. Kenny Pickett closed out the year completing almost 60% of his passes. And of course, the big bright spot of this whole thing is Ryan Winslow. Ryan Winslow completed 100% of his passes for 15 yards and a touchdown for a rating of 556. So basically, the bright spot of our passing game was Ryan Winslow. I mean, that was a really good thrown ball too. Here's one thing that gets overlooked, and we'll get in. First, we'll start off with the running backs. I mean, Darren Hall picked up towards the end. I mean, he had 785 yards total from scrimmage, and most of that was probably in the second half of the year. Quadri Ellison had almost 600 yards from scrimmage. Olsen, we were hoping for, what we saw in his freshman year. But I think that year with Olsen, he ran behind a really good offensive line. And basically, you could say that's what his numbers that year were a product of, was the offensive line, which is so good. Shontez Moss, unfortunately, is gone. And, Quadri Anderson, he had some touches as well. He had 250 yards rushing. Receiving, though, 17 catches, 106 yards. It's just not going to get done. Speaking of the receivers, Pitt's leading receiver was Rafael Rujo Lopez. He had 43 catches for 531 yards, two TDs. Jester Wee was not too far behind with 41 catches for 698. But here's one glowing thing about the offense that was missing from last year. Tight end. Last year, Scott Orndorff was missed last year from last year. because nobody in the tight end realm really stepped up. I mean, Matt Flanagan was serviceable, but we were hoping big things from Chris Clark, and it just never materialized. So that's one thing that really helped Pitt last year was the tight end, because Orndorff made some big catches in some big situations, Clemson being one of them. And that was the glaring one. On defense, one glaring thing I saw was the lack of turnovers. They, you know, the team just really didn't force that many turnovers this year, is what we liked. You know, interceptions were very little. And one thing about a good defense is you gotta have good, you gotta be able to force turnovers. You know, as far as the defense is concerned, there were some bright spots. Obviously, DeMar Hamlin got better as the season went on. I mean, he took his lumps early, but he got better. Elijah Zeiss, same thing. He had a decent year. Aduwu, if I'm pronouncing his name right, had 11, had almost 12 tackles for loss, 5 sacks. He was the big. Not to mention he, he had a fumble, fumble recovery. Avonte Maddox, as much as we pick on him sometimes because he's been here for so long, he really picked it up at towards the end of the year, and I wish we could see more of him because he was starting to play really, really good, and you hope he picks it up as he moves on. Dwayne Henderson started to pick up as well. Celine Brightwell, Dennis Briggs, another one. I mean, that group was really starting to pick up. And as far as, losing, we'll get to who we're losing this offseason, but obviously, we need better performance from the kicking game because Kessman was very disappointing. You hope that works out. Ryan Winslow's going to be missed. He was a hell of a punter, so he will be missed. Of course, somebody Quadri's gone, so we'll need a punt returner. And we're looking at the guys that are leaving. Obviously, we're going to lose Jared Jones-Smith. Alex Officer's gone. And, of course, Jester Wee, Quadri Henderson, those guys are gone so far. That's who we're losing there and, some notables in the offense. But, as far as receiver goes, we got Lopez. He'll be there next year as a senior. Aaron Matthews is going to be there as well. Ruben Flowers, a notable one. Tight end, Chris Clark will be back. So we got at least, some experience there. Darren Hall is going to be back. And, of course, we got Kenny Pickett back. So, offensively, we're not looking too bad. Defensively, so far, we're just losing from a notable senior. We're losing Avonte Maddox, really. Barring that Jordan Whitehead doesn't go pro, because we got a bunch of other guys back. So it's a lot of experience for next year. So it's shaping up to be a good year for next year for Pitt. On paper, of course, is what I'm saying. So there's some good things to think, to be, positive about. Now, there was one player who, that is leaving. I believe, that person is Ian Troost. He's leaving to go focus on his academics and social justice initiatives. And, I know that caused a big funk early in the year. And what's funny, what's kind of weird about it was, it's not really funny but weird, is pretty much it was forgotten about the rest of the year. Nobody ever talked about it, just for a handful of things. And my thing with that is, when he was doing the kneeling, I was curious. I had no issues with it at all. My curiosity is what he was going to do with it. I mean, was he kneeling just to kneel? Because obviously, especially on social media, we do stuff because it's the hip thing to do. It's almost like saying, I'm going to pray. I'm not really going to do anything. I'm just going to pray though. So praying will solve it. But he's actually going to take it and do something with it. And hey, good for him. I'm happy for him. If he found his calling, I mean, obviously we need more with these type of issues we have, you know, in society. Hey, we can use more people like him. So the more the merrier. So, you know, kudos to him. I mean, you could probably say maybe, you know, with Colin Kaepernick, he lost his job with football, but he maybe found his life's work with what he's doing now. So hopefully the work same goes for Ian as well, and hopefully he takes what he did and continues to build, and obviously he's going to do that. But anyways, I'm going to end it here. Obviously, we got coach, we got stability, barring any assistants leave. And, you know, sky's bright. I mean, of course, the season was disappointing. Total disaster, no. It just was a bad, disappointing year. It happens. But things looked up. Held up it.